So in Luke 17, starting in verse 11, we read this story. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us!" When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has made you well." Now, many of us, of course, know this story. And the hero in the story, the unlikely hero, is the Samaritan. There's the 10 people. They were in the area between Galilee and Samaria, sort of traveling along the border there. And so, of course, it's not unusual for a group of leprous people to be a mixed group. Jews who lived in Galilee and Samaritans who lived in Samaria. So that's not unusual. And of course, if you don't know the story, the Jews and the Samaritan, they can't stand each other. But when you have leprosy and you're being shunned, you have to leave your home, you have to leave your community, you have to live in the colony where the lepers are, then it doesn't matter whether you were a Jew or a Samaritan, you are there until you die. So they could have cussed each other out in the colony, but they were all the same, leprous. They were no longer allowed to be with their loved ones. They were no longer allowed to eat with their family. If Thanksgiving came around, then they would have thought about mom and dad, and they would have thought about their wives and their children and their cousins and their uncles and their grandparents sitting around the big table carving that tofurkey or the turkey. And they would have thought about that. And they may have had fond memories of such past Thanksgiving days, but they were no longer allowed to take part because they were unclean. And a group of such leprous people meet Jesus in that border region between Galilee and Samaria. They call out. Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priest because that's what is the legal thing to do according to Leviticus 14. They had to, before they were allowed back into society, they had to go to the priest and show themselves there. Now, whether that was a priest who lives in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was still 40 miles away, or whether that was somebody more local, I don't know. But there had to be some kind of legal person in the form of a priest who can certify that they are now clean again to re-enter society. And as they move to do that, they realize that they're healed, and only one of the 10 comes back to Jesus to say thank you. And Luke, who does that in other places as well, pointing out the underdogs. Luke says, well, that one was a Samaritan, the unlikely hero. And we always look at the Samaritan and say, yeah, you see, that's why you have to be thankful. That's why you need to say thank you, right? Like mom and dad and Jeff and what's her name, Emily did in the children's story. But, and here I have to, so when I was a student, the cardinal sin you do as a student is when you write a paper, is you take somebody else's thoughts and put them into your paper, but you don't give a reference. That's called plagiarism, and that is really a no-no thing in academic circles. And so I have to put my footnote in here and my reference. So last week I went to an interfaith service up where I live, and in the Episcopal Church, and the priest there, and when we used to work together in an association, we became friends, and his sermon was pretty cool, so I borrowed, with his permission, I borrowed from him. Because his point was, well, let's not just look at the one hero of the story. My question is, What about the nine? What were they thinking? What about the nine? Now let's remember, leprosy was worse than AIDS of our days, in their days, because there was no cure for it. You had to be sequestered. You were untouchable, literally. Maybe like AIDS in the 80s, when people were afraid to sit in certain seats because they thought the person who sat in that seat before was HIV positive and they would contract that disease through sitting in the same seat. We laugh at this now in 2018 because, of course, that's not how this is transmitted. But back in Jesus' days, that's exactly how people thought leprosy is transmitted. You cannot touch anything that a leper have ever touched or sat in or walked over. So they had to be away. And now these nine are healed. That means they can come back into society. And so, who knows? It doesn't take much imagination to imagine, I mean, to think what happened to the first leper. He realized it. I'm healed. And he was so thankful for his healing, and like kids on Christmas morning, was so caught up and so swept up in the excitement of being healed that he simply forgot to say thank you. Do you remember when you were a kid and you had a specific or a particularly great Christmas? And you come downstairs in the morning and there's the tree and all the stuff. And you're so excited because the present that you were dreaming of for the last 2 months, there it is. And as you rip off the paper, you're like, wow, yes, this is it, whoa. And in the excitement of now, you and your new toy, you completely forget who got it for you. And so maybe that's what happened to the first leper. He simply forgot. When he realized that what he had hoped for, against hope, to maybe someday be healed from his disease. And now it was here, and he simply forgot. Now, the second leper, he also was thankful. But unlike the first one, he was not at all surprised getting whole again. You see, the second leper was a very pious, deeply religious man. He followed all the rules and all the regulations of his religious tradition. He believed that there was a direct connection between practice of piety and healing. So his personal theology taught him that he had earned it. He deserved the healing. This healing was his just reward for his impeccable religious performance. So of course you don't need to go back and say thank you to some dusty man. The third leper was also thankful, but his story is much different than the other two. Maybe this man grew up in a home where nobody ever said thank you to anybody for anything. You know, in that home, life was hard. It was dog-eat-dog, survival of the fittest kind of atmosphere. And nobody had time for social niceties like saying thank you. You get a good thing coming your way, you grab it by the horns and you make the most of it. And in New Jersey, that, you know, I see that on the street sometimes. You know, when I drive and I can see somebody coming from behind, you thought, okay, let them in, be nice. And then they go in and there's no thank you. It's like, yeah, there's my gap. I deserve that. Get in, boom. Your fault for not speeding up and closing the gap, isn't it? So I take advantage. Dog-eat-dog kind of world where nobody says thank you. That sounds very, very familiar. Anyway, the fourth leper was also thankful, but he was the kind of person who never questioned those in authority. He was the kind of person who did exactly what he was told. And what was he told by Jesus? He was told to go and show himself to the priest. So that is exactly what he was going to do. So as he remembered, as he realized, I mean, that he was healed, and he remembered, wait. Maybe, no, but I can't go back to say thank you, because he said, go and show yourself to the priest. So I have to go and show myself to the priest. So I can't say thank you, got to go and show myself to the priest. The fifth leper was thankful, yes, of course, but he was taught from childhood, and he believed that God was omniscient. He knew everything. God was everywhere, and he knew everything. And so he believed that, well, God already knew that he was thankful, so why take the time and energy to return to give a verbal expression for this inner heartfelt feeling of gratitude, since God already knows. The sixth leper was thankful for his healing. But you see, he was going home to his wife and to his children, to his family. He hadn't been home ever since he was pronounced a leper, ever since that priest or that legal person pronounced on him, you know, they examined that skin anomaly on him, and the priest said, nope, leprosy. And as the priest said those words, the family had to withdraw from him, because as the priest pronounced him leprous, he was now unclean. He had no more contact to his family, and now he was healed, finally, after who knows how many weeks or months or how long he was there as a leper. Finally, he was able to go back home. No more separation from his family, no more separation from his community, his village where all his other relatives lived. The only thing on his mind at that moment, the only thing that mattered, was to be reunited with the people he loved most in the world. The seventh leper sure was thankful, yes. He had been a successful financial person across the river in the city. That was his consuming passion. He was gutted when he had to let go of it. He was distraught when he was shown the way across the George, go into exile to New Jersey. No, I'm sorry. He could no longer take care of business. Maybe he tried to listen to passers-by what the Dow Jones was, and he heard about the going up, and then he heard, wait, and then it went down and then went up again, and you know how the thing goes. But he no longer had any influence. He no longer could do any business. And now he was healed. The door was open once more to walk down Wall Street into the hallowed halls of the New York Stock Exchange and go back to business. The man was so dedicated to his business, he even loved firing up his email browser, his email program, and see 5,600 unread emails, but he cherished every one of them. You know that this is just a fairy tale. No, he couldn't say thank you, because he couldn't wait to get back to business. The eighth leper was thankful, sure. But having spent months in the colony with the other lepers and having subsisted on a diet of scraps and leftovers that good-meaning folk would throw at them, when he realized that he was healed, there was something even more important than saying thank you that moved to the forefront of his conscience. Yes. Finally, he was able to eat proper food. He was able to walk into a shop and not being kicked out, not having stones thrown at him. He was able to go to a restaurant to order food and not have the cops called on him because he was a leper. He was able to eat. And who knows, maybe it was the time of November, maybe in Palestine they had turkey, I don't know, I'm mixing metaphors and things right now. Maybe it was a tofurkey. So as soon as he found out that he was healed, he had to go to his favorite restaurant, and order his favorite meal and sit down. Let's eat! Which we probably do later anyway. But that was number 8. Now, leper number 9. Who never did anything particularly wrong in his life. And yet, when he was pronounced unclean, was wondering, because in the pronouncement by the priest that he's now unclean, there also came a moral judgment that, you know, you brought that on yourself. Because God will not strike and smite people with leprosy unless they deserve it. That was the sort of underlying message there, that society and the religious leaders would teach and tell the people that were lepers. But my man never done anything wrong. He remembered the story in children's Sabbath school. He had to learn the book of Job, the innocent man who suffered. And now he saw himself in that same situation, leper and not deserving it. And as the days stretched into weeks and the weeks moved into months, he sat there in gloom, brooding over the question, why, God, have you not prevented me from this, from contracting this disease? Why have you allowed this to happen to me? Why, God? And as the whys became louder in his mind, and the time stretched longer and longer, and the disease progressed further and further in his body, the whys turned into rage, anger, and finally, bitterness. So when Jesus sent them to show themselves to the priests, he walked, yes, but he was like, so what? Who cares? Because God has long abandoned me. Oh, I'm clean. I'm clean. Yeah, but I can't forget, Lord, that all these months that I sat there in this colony, I'm clean. Yeah, but I can't forget that I was suffering all this time, needlessly, undeservedly. He may have been healed from his leprosy, but his bitterness remained. And so, yes, of course, he was kind of glad that this was over, but thankfulness had a hard time pushing its way through the crowd of bitterness that reigned and moved around in that man's heart. 9 lepers. What were they thinking? Well, maybe that's what they were thinking. Some of them, most of them, were thankful. They were thankful for having miraculously been healed of a sure death sentence. They were thankful for having been spared any further social isolation. Yes, they were thankful. But only one of the 10 translated the thankfulness into action and went back to Jesus to actually say thank you. And like I said, Luke throws that little thing in there and says, yeah, and that one was a Samaritan. You see, there's a huge and significant difference between being thankful and giving thanks, between being thankful and saying thank you. 10 lepers were cleansed. And Luke employs a different phrase for the one who returns when Jesus says, get up, your faith has made you well or saved you. That's a different word. They were all cleansed, yes, but only one received extra. Only one received healing that went beyond and deeper than the skin level. Only one received that phrase, you're saved, you are being made well. Only one of the 10. They were all cleansed, yes, great stuff, but they weren't all healed. Only one was made whole. That's the one who came back to give thanks. And so Thanksgiving last Thursday and Thanksgiving every day of our lives should remind us that we don't just be thankful to God. You know, like the kids in the story, with the children's story. Well, mom and dad know that we are thankful. Yeah. You know, we're happy to have a nice home. We're happy to have clean clothes. We're happy that there's food in the fridge. And my goodness, when Jeff and Emily grow up to be teenagers, yeah, they'll be very happy that there's food in the fridge. And mom and dad will be like, what happened to the fridge? I've been there. So glad my son lives in England now. There's food. There's still food in my fridge. Yay. He's 25. Anyway. Yes, of course, mom and dad know that we are thankful. Yeah, but they every now and then would like to hear the words coming out of our mouths. Thank you. Of course, God knows everything like one of the lepers. He's omniscient. Of course, he knows that you are grateful. But he just likes to hear the thing coming out of your mouth. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe it's something about our peculiar voices. Maybe it's something about God interacting with humanity. He doesn't just want to read your thoughts, which he does. But he also wants to hear this coming out of your mouths, saying thank you. Because being thankful is good. But giving thanks and saying thank you is better. And so with that, let's not just wait until the fourth Thursday in November to give thanks. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's give thanks to God and say thank you to each other. Amen.